Calling all conscious achievers who are seeking more community and connection, I've got an invitation for you. Join me at this year's Summit of Greatness, this September 7th through 9th in my hometown of Columbus, Ohio, to unleash your true greatness. This is the one time a year that I gather the greatness community together in person for a powerful, transformative weekend. People come from all over the world, and you can expect to hear from inspiring speakers like Inky Johnson, Jaspreet Singh, Vanessa Van Edwards, Jen Sincero, and many more. You'll also be able to dance your heart out to live music, get your body moving with group workouts, and connect with others at our evening socials. So if you're ready to learn, heal, and grow alongside other incredible individuals in the greatness community, then you can learn more at lewishouse.com/summit2023. Make sure to grab your ticket, invite your friends, and I'll see you there.
The new rich is peace. You know, because you can put somebody in a Rolls Royce, he's still going to have the same problems. He's going to have those problems in a Rolls Royce. And I think once you become into this place where you just at peace with who you are, I had to work so hard and do so much work on myself just to even get a taste of that.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness. Very excited about our guest. We have the inspiring Jay Jeezy Jenkins in the house.
What's up, my brother? Man, how you feeling?
Good to see you, man. Excited so about this. We've connected on social media for a while. Yeah. You have an amazing new book out called Adversity for Sale.
Yes, everyone
needs to get. But you've been on the scene for a while, a couple of decades. You've been in the music scene, multi-platinum, award-winning, all the different things that have happened for the success that the world has seen. But what I think is interesting is most people we were just talking about don't see the darkness and don't see the failures necessarily. They see the money, they see maybe the success, they see who you're working with, all the talented people you get to collaborate with. But I don't think everyone gets to know about the adversity.
Right.
That got you to where you're at, and actually how it's the failures that give us the most information on how to be successful.
Right.
We're talking about your younger years where you went through different adversity, grew up, your parents were separated, you're in and out of boot camp style institutions. And you had some darkness early on.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Now, were you successful before in terms of the music world? Were you doing music and having stuff out there before a lot of the darkness came? Or?
Oh, no. Let me give you a little history. My humble beginnings. My father was in the military. My mother and my father married young. I have a sister. My older brother died. And me and my family were abroad. So I lived in Japan.
And Hawaii too, right?
Hawaii, yeah. Yep. So that was the beginning. My parents got divorced because, you know, my mom was, you know, my mom was a little spicy at the time. You know what I mean? My dad was how he was, and I don't think they can put it together because I don't think there was therapy, all those things back then that I know of, and they just divorced. And it was like one day we was living this life, and then the next day I was back in the hood with my grandmother, living with my grandmother, and then I tried to live with my grandmother for a while, and there was a lot of people in the house. So I ended up moving with my mother. And when I moved with my mother, it was really a little dysfunctional because I look just like my father.
She didn't like your father.
No.
So she didn't like you.
No, at all. And so we just kept bumping heads. And one day I was supposed to go to school. And this is around the time I was getting in the streets. And I was just like, I ain't going. And she was like, oh, are you going to school? And I'll never forget it. We got the biggest argument we ever had. And I looked up and she had a little 25. It was like a chrome with a little pearl handle. She put it in my face. She said, you going to go to school? She said, you got to go to school, you're going to go to hospital. And I just remember.
She put the gun in your face.
Yes. I looked at her.
Your mom?
Yes.
How old were you?
Maybe about 14, 15.
Holy cow.
Yeah, maybe about 14, 15. I couldn't have been 16. I just want to make sure I get the time.
Sure. So she puts the gun like right in your face, like closer.
Yep. Tells me, you're going to go to school, you're going to die today.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Man.
And I believed her too, though, because my mom wasn't in to play with. Like, she was serious. She was serious business. And I knew what it was. I was out of control. By this time, I'm 13, 14 years old. I'm selling drugs. I'm into a lot of things that kids shouldn't be into, right? But because this is where I felt like I had a place, you know, because they treated me different.
You felt more accepted there.
Yeah. So that was in the streets.
Than at home.
Right.
Really?
And so when I left her, I went back to stay with my grandmother. And that's why I say I relate to you on the sofa thing, because I slept on the sofa a lot of
your
nights.
Whole childhood,
years. You know, and the thing about my grandmother, she kind of let me do what I wanted to do because there were so many grandkids in the house. Like, she didn't really have any controls. I would go out, stay out as long as I wanted to, and come in. And so I was able to start, you know, building my foundation to be what I was becoming, if you will, because I didn't have any restraints.
Right.
It was game on, and you know
that's not a good thing.
You know, it's crazy. I say that all the time because my grandmother lived right across the street from this basketball court, right? And every Sunday, everybody would come to this court from all the towns around, and they would play basketball. And they'd be like all the hustlers and all the cars, and you know all the women. And you just like, and I used to be so tired because I was up hustling all night that I used to sleep on the sofa, so I would be asleep while they're playing ball, right? But I would listen to everything, the conversations and everything I could hear, because I had FOMO, I didn't want to miss out.
Sure.
Right? And that was like my thing, just laying on that sofa and just listening to everything. And then one day I was just like, man, you know, I can't wait till I can pull up in front of this park in a yellow Testarossa and hop out and be this big guy and all that. And the crazy thing, like, that was my vision. And then, you know, of course it wasn't a big vision.
That was the dream.
Yeah. There you go. And I ended up doing that. But my grandmother passed before she got a chance to see it. So my point in case is everything that she thought that was going to, you know, send me to prison and get me killed actually gave me the foundation to be who I was. And that's why I relate when you're saying about your brother.
Yeah.
It's like you have to go through things to start to understand why you're here. And for me, it was like, I can do this. But it was a real game because it's like this ain't Pac-Man or something you're playing, because if you lose, you know, it's death or jail.
Yeah, man.
So now I'm picking up skills, because what do you have to have if the consequences are dire? Now I got discipline.
Wow.
You know, I'm smart. You know, I'm thinking things out and problem solving.
You learned this from the streets.
Yeah.
What were the three most powerful skills you learned hustling in the streets that you still use today?
Oh, sure. Discipline is real. Like, it's like you can do anything in the world with discipline. And if you don't have it, the world can do anything to you. You know, discipline is key. The second one I was thinking would be is problem solving. Like, it can be chaotic. I'm the calmest person in the room, and in my head, I'm already putting together how I'm going to solve the problem, right? And the third thing would be understanding that you don't need anything to make something, right? You just got to have the drive to do it. You feel what I'm saying? It's like you don't need a product to make money,
right?
You just need an idea and a drive to get it across, right?
Yeah.
And I learned that in the streets, like, really quick, you know, because if your personality is good and you're a good person, people will do things for you that they wouldn't do for somebody that they feel like might try to take advantage of or rob or take something. It's almost like, I really like you. I want to help you.
But could you fully trust everyone or anyone in the streets as a 16, 18-year-old kid?
Well, I'm going to tell you some real. I ain't never trusted nobody in my life.
Even today?
No.
Today you don't trust anyone?
No.
Not even your wife or kids?
My wife, but like nobody I know.
Wow.
But let me say this, from my past.
From your past?
Right.
Okay.
But what I had to learn and earn was to get only quality people around
me. Yes.
Because I just kind of brought what I had with me to the table. You know, and everybody don't got the proper etiquette.
Sure.
So it's like it wasn't the right table.
Right.
And as I started to lose people on one front, I had this very dark space where I was trying to figure out who I was, because these are the people that made me feel like this is my support system.
They accepted you on the streets. They were there for you when you were struggling, when your parents weren't there.
Right. So this is like
they brought you in.
This is my support system.
Man, that's so tough.
Right. And then now I'm getting to this space where I'm making different decisions, and my support system is like, and then by the way, my support system is not like, it's almost like having a pack of wild wolves. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest. Like,
yeah,
you feed them every day. And then when the food starts slowing,
they get hungry.
Start looking at you.
They get hungry.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm having to navigate this, and I'm having to, you know, separate myself, so to speak. But as I'm separating myself, I'm losing my power.
How so?
Because I don't have control over anything else. I got control over the streets. I'm not in corporate America yet. I can't make any decisions or no moves. I'm not
right
over here. I'm nobody.
How old are you at this time? This time?
Well, this is actually after I put out my second album.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I just started to see things happen. And I talk a lot about it in the book. This was my say, like, you great at what you do, right? And you know all these people in this community. So you got resources, but if I just took you and put you in the White House, you might be a little like,
what do I know?
Right? Yeah. So it was a lot of that. And as I started to transition.
So you brought your crew with you as you started to do music.
Correct.
Right? You started.
I really didn't have a choice.
Yeah, that was all you knew.
Well, no, because I was still doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing.
Oh, you were still in the streets.
So this is my corporation.
While you were trying to be credible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this is my company. Right? This is how the bills are being paid.
Sure.
This is how we're staying afloat. This is how I'm paying for the music.
Everything is here.
But once I go like, okay, this ain't really working, I got to lean more towards the music. And I never forget, I went cold turkey. I just kind of one of my friends said something to me about it. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to go to prison because I'm not a prison type. I'm keeping it real. Like, I'm too fly of a guy for that. I ain't got time to be wasting my time. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And I didn't want to get killed. Because it was like, you know, I was losing, you know, 30, 40, 50 friends a year, like clockwork.
Really?
Yeah, still to this day, right now.
Wow.
I just lost three people that I know that I'm affiliated with. So I lost three people in the last 2 days.
Do you know anyone who can be successful doing, hustling the streets?
Right.
While staying alive, not going to prison after 10, 20, 30 years and feeling peace in their heart?
No.
Then why do people do it for so long? I get it when you're like a teenager and there's, you know, you're getting brought up in it, but why keep doing it?
Because in their eyes, that's the closest they've ever been to success. In my eyes, it's the closest I've ever been to success. I paid for my, just to put a understanding of it, like this room we in, when right before my mom kicked me out, I bought her a trailer, a double wide or a single wide trailer, as big as this room. That's as big as it was. Me, my mom, my sister stayed in a space like this for years until she kicked me out. That I paid $3,500 for.
Wow.
Where do you think I got the $3,500? The streets.
Right.
So just like, how is that not
That's
success?
How you made it, yeah, yeah.
How is that not success, right? I'm doing something for my family, I'm doing something for my mom. I'm not even thinking about the consequences.
Right.
Right? I'm not thinking about what could happen. I need to eat now.
Right.
But let's say, you know, for those that stay in that game for 5-10 years and they see 3 to 5, 10 friends a year die or go to jail every year.
Right.
What's the motivation for saying, oh, it's not going to be me, I'm going to be fine, or I can outsmart the law or outsmart the bullets?
Okay, so that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because I'm the one.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that made it from what I know, right? And that's why I'm telling my story, because I had to make a lot of decisions that weren't favorable, that wasn't cool. It wasn't like what you're supposed to do when you're in my position. I had to go against the grain. And that's when I realized that I'm a disruptor and I'm a visionary, because I could tell you in 10 years what I want to be like.
Mm.
When I can tell you in 20 years where I want to live at. You know what I mean? I can see it, right? And then I can tell you what I'm not scared to go up against to get there, right? And that's why I wrote the book, because this success is like, we equate success with money. And I don't care how much it is. You know what I'm saying? If I got more than I had yesterday, I'm successful.
Yeah.
But that's not the truth.
Mm. What is success for you?
Success to me is peace. It's peace of mind. It's being able to get up every day and live your life, you know, to the fullest, with making memories, doing things that you love to do, without, you know, having to be told what to do, because you earn that and you put yourself in a position where you're able to go do something that you actually love.
Right.
And it has purpose for you, right? Because this book and what I do is, because a lot of people get caught up in the Jeezy, like the rap. I ain't never been a rapper.
Really?
No, I'm him. I ain't his mother, his daddy, his brother, his cousin. I'm him. I'm the guy who walked out of the streets and showed all these kids and this generation coming up that you can be from where I'm from. I'm going to leave the back door open for you. You just got to get in there. Now, that's the first part.
You got to be disciplined to make those decisions, yeah.
Right? But that's not where the game starts.
Where does it start?
Now you got to stay alive. Now you got to stay free. You know what I'm saying? Because you see what's going on with culture and entertainment. These kids are going to jail like it's nothing. They're dying like it's like they're in Vietnam or something. You feel what I'm saying? So that's my purpose and why I'm here and why I want to tell my story, because I had to make some painful decisions to get here, and I'm still thriving and trying to get to the next level. But this is bigger than me, because I'm going to have to sit down with somebody one day and tell them, hey, man, you know, you might want to try it this way. You know, because it missed so many calls where I've had some kids, where I wouldn't call them kids, but young guys, that I really respected. And I would go talk to them about certain things, and they'd be like, yeah, I could see that. And then next week they're gone.
They don't take it. They don't listen to you. They don't take action.
Well, the thing is, you have to package it right.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? Because I'm coming to you and I'm looking clean and buttoned up. I don't look like one of you, because you know how I used to look. You know how I used to be. You know what used to be around me.
Yeah.
You know, you respected what was around me because you felt like I was leading men that you respect. Now that that's no longer around, you kind of second guess what I'm saying, because that ain't the ideal you got for yourself, right?
Mm.
Until you start to get in that place where you start to get things that you actually really care about. Kids, wife, family, career. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Right. And now you're like, oh, what do I do? Because now you have to start making those. And the thing is, you have to evolve. If you don't evolve, even in the streets, I knew that going in. It's just like, I'm not staying here. I just need this to be, you know, the vessel, because music is my talent, which I stumble on, but business has always been my passion.
Mm.
I always saw myself with a plain Jane watch, wedding band, three-piece suit.
Really?
Yeah, that's me. That's who I am. Clean cut, good skin.
You know, smelling good.
Right, that's me. And that's what I strive for.
Wow.
Right? So I was never caught up in the stigma of the streets. Like, I understood it, but I understood what it was, too. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I can't come from the streets and walk straight into the boardroom.
Wow.
So how do I get there? And then I started to map out this plan. The plan was to go from where I was to figure some things out, to establish myself, establish my credibility. And then starting to get into this music. I started as a CEO at first. I spent a lot of money. That didn't work. My artists went to jail. One of them got killed. And now I'm stuck with all the studio equipment. I'm like, I got to do it myself.
Wow.
Now I do it myself. It takes me 10 years to build it. Boom, now I'm a success. But then I got all these bad things that are coming with me because now nobody ever cut the water off. You know what I mean? So
wow.
Now I got to start transitioning that. But this is the thing. They don't understand. I already got a vision. I'm already going where I'm going. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, I'm going there. So as you start to get closer to where you're going, people start to fall back. And they're like, I don't really like what he's doing anymore. But like the music he's listening to. Why is he eating clean food? What are we doing?
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's that. And the thing is, you know, I think the sad part about it is, you know, everybody's supposed to have their own vision. And my vision and your vision are supposed to align so we can get to where we're going together. Whatever I can do to help you, like we talked about earlier, and whatever you can do to help me, that's when the visions align. When everybody's just kind of walking behind you just to see where you got to go and they're not knowing you're going there, as you get closer to it, they go, I want to be over here. This is where I'm good at. But I'm like, we can be good here today, but I don't know about tomorrow. Right?
Right.
And that's what happens when you have people that get into the streets and stay in it. They don't have a vision. They just needed what they needed right then. And as you get more comfortable with getting what you get, then you get this thing that I talk about in the book, this mindset of, I'm glad it ain't me. So you hear about somebody getting murdered, I'm glad it ain't me. You hear somebody go about somebody going to prison, I'm glad it ain't me. But the whole time, you rolling the dice.
Could be you any moment.
Yes,
yeah.
Tomorrow.
Wow.
You know, and I'm not trying to paint it like this dark cloud because I learned so much in the streets. Like, I give the streets everything. Like, and I mean that. Like, even to this day when I'm out and I see people. And you got to understand, like, by far, I'm not the biggest rap star. I'm not the biggest. But in the streets, I'm everything.
Oh, yeah.
I'm everything.
Today.
It don't get no bigger.
Really?
Because they all, either their fathers knew me, their older brother that's in prison, their cousin from the block, that somebody got a Jeezy story about why they love me.
Wow.
Like, it's almost like Bob Marley. If you go to Jamaica, 7 Mile where he's from, everybody's going to tell you a story about Bob.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there
too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app, State Farm, lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
How he helped him fight the bully at school, how he helped somebody jump their car off, how he gave somebody bail money, how he paid for kids' Christmas. That's who I am.
Right? Wow.
And I've been that. And like for me, you know, that's what it's about. And throughout the streets taught me about integrity, right? And that's like the big one to me, because it's almost like if you ain't a man of your word, you're not a man. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you want to keep your word when you play with people that are just as dangerous as you are.
Absolutely. They're not going to play.
You know, right.
They're not going to play around.
I'm trying to tell
break
you.
Break your word, right. They're going to break you.
You're right.
So you mentioned your mom. I mean, this, I shouldn't be laughing about this, but it's just kind of crazy to think about. You mentioned your mom put a gun in your face when you were 14, 15. How many times have you had a gun in your face since then?
I got pretty slick after that. I got pretty good at like seeing the energy and knowing like
escaping it, not putting yourself in it.
And I was telling somebody this other day, like I think in my mind, I just built up this superpower of just not getting caught up in that.
And really?
I just been so good at that. You know what I'm saying? Like that my whole life, like people will tell you right now, I still move militant. Like I moved militant before Barack Obama. You
feel really?
Oh yes. Because I'm not exempt to anything. I'm not, you know, we just lost Nipsey Hussle. We just lost this one now. Like, you're not exempt.
Even if you've had a good track record for a certain amount of time, and even if you're being in integrity to the right things and being of service. And
one thing about it, if you have Chapo Guzman, you still have Chapo Guzman. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
It doesn't go away. The people don't
really
go away. Really?
Something from 10, 20 years ago might still catch up to you.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. It's real. And I don't mean it in the sense of, I mean, you're still dealing with individuals. You're dealing
right.
with people.
Emotions.
Yeah, you're dealing
people
with
people holding on to stuff.
And people see you moving differently, right? And they see you enjoying your life.
And they think, I should be getting peace.
Right. Or not even just that. Or this like, he ain't the way he used to be. Therefore, he's not, you know.
Or he thinks he's better than her or whatever.
Right. And just jealousy.
Wow.
My coach is the real deal.
Really?
Oh, yeah, you lose your life about that easy. I mean, that's nothing.
Even if you didn't do anything to someone, but just that
that's
came from somewhere, you made it,
right.
And they didn't.
The crazy thing, you ain't got to even make it. You just got to be there when the energy's off and they're jealous and they're mad or they're upset.
They got nothing to lose.
That's it. And I got nothing to prove.
Right,
you know
right,
what
right.
I'm saying? So I know better. And I think that, you know, I carry those list of rules and morals as I continue to navigate the world. And I think people that are around me don't understand why I still think that way.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But I just know better. And it's not like I'm scared, I'm worried, but I'm not going to go nowhere I shouldn't be. I'm not going to hang around. I ain't going to Roscoe's. I'll tell you that.
2 a.m. Roscoe's, you're not jumping
I'm not doing that.
Wow, man.
I'm my assistant. You know, I'm
so you're very intentional.
Yeah,
I'm mindful about your environment, people you're
everything.
Surrounding
and,
with.
And that came with not trusting anyone.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Because I couldn't. You know, and people around me might look at you and might tell you if they sat down with you, like, that's not true because this is like, nah, I didn't. I know how to play the game. I love
right,
you. I still love you.
Right.
But I know what you're capable of, right? And at the same time,
yeah,
I know what's going on with the dynamic. You see me moving in a different direction. You don't like that. You're never going to like that. How could you possibly like that? You know what I'm saying? So now it's like the love I have for you, I can't allow that to let, you know, me be vulnerable in a certain sense.
How do you,
and I know it sounds like,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
But it's life.
How do you have peace, inner peace, emotional peace, and self-belief and self-confidence while also knowing that people that you grew up with or, you know, you're losing friends to death or jail or and still happening today, how do you feel peace, calm, and confident?
Right.
Running a business, running your life, traveling with your wife, whatever it might be, how do you feel those things?
I feel peace because I know that when it's all said and done, my kids gonna know that their father was a great man.
Mm.
I feel peace in knowing that there's no better husband in the world than me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm that guy.
My
you
man.
Know what I'm saying? Because this is something I strive for. Like, I wanted these things.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when it comes down to my culture, there's nobody that's realer than me. because I'm not a rapper. Like, I'm not, I'm a prophet in my mind. I mean, I'm here to share what I've learned and to share what I know, hoping that it can change lives.
Wow.
Right. And save lives, because that's the only thing I can do at this point. You can give me $1 billion, I'm going to live the same life. Of course, I want it.
Right.
More people, but I'm going to still be the same person. And for me, it's like I get peace in knowing that I got good friends now and I can build with. You know, I just had my homie lost one of his nephews and the other one lost his cousin. But it was a time where as black men, we couldn't even talk to each other about how we felt. I'm in a circle of people now, I can tell them like, man, I don't know how and we all come together.
Right.
And we talk about this and I ain't judging you.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be like that. I used to have to keep all my feelings and everything that I was feeling balled up inside and deal with it myself, you know, which caused me to go outside of my comfort zone to find the answers, which was a great thing.
Yeah.
But now I can call, you know, one of my brothers or somebody and say, hey, look, man, well, you know, my man, I found out his nephew died, and the next day my other man's cousin died. And it's just like, now I got to make these calls. But the calls are like, they're intentional. Hey, bro, if you need to process this, you know, if you need to just sit down, like, you want to smoke a cigar, let's just talk, you know, and that's a different type of piece, right? Because now I got an outlet. And then what gives me peace is I started getting mentors, whether it was my,
a mentor of yours? And Bishop Jakes is a mentor?
Bishop Jakes is one of my mentors. John Maxwell.
I just had John on. He's great.
Robert Greene.
Robert's amazing.
Tony Robbins.
Yeah, man.
You name it. You know, these are my, this is my circle.
Yeah.
It's me now.
Wow. You know?
And for me, it's like, these are people that I can reach out to even help me process stuff I need to help process for the people that I love.
Wow.
I want to help, right? Because now we all got this. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's not just mine, right? And what brings me peace is knowing that, you know, my decisions can change lives, right? Because my decisions have took lives, meaning like I've been a part of things that, you know, but now it's not like I just turned this new leaf and I'm just in a different space. It's like, this is who I am. This is who I was evolving to be. I just had to go through the fire.
Wow.
Right? Just to understand, because I can't look at you with a straight face and go, I wouldn't do that. I don't think that's good. And I never did it. I'm gonna be like, yo, man. Like I've been there, and that's why when my brothers come to me, if they're going through something or whatever, I can sit down and have a intentional conversation about, you know, processing it and understanding where we at, and then we can. And here's that street sense kicks in again. Oh, you ever thought about this? And you should sit down with such and such, and y'all figure that out.
Sure, sure.
And that's how it works.
How old were you when you started to be able to open up and have these types of conversations about your emotions, about your feelings, about your thoughts, as opposed to just with yourself? Because I never spoke about any of my emotions till I was about 10 years ago when I hit 30. It's when I started to process and heal and be able to talk about these things that I was like, no one could ever know this stuff.
I would say when I was 40.
Really?
Yeah, it's less than 5 years ago.
Wow. That's when you started to be able to say, all right, let me start processing or opening up.
Well, what happened was I was living in Malibu and my music was changing. Louis Farrakhan hit me, Brother Farrakhan. And he was like, Jeezy, Brother Jeezy, your music is changing. The enemy is coming. And I'm just like, my enemy's in my neighborhood. They ain't coming where I'm in Malibu. He's like, I'm just telling you. Get off the phone with him. Next week, I'm on tour with Wiz Khalifa. Young man gets killed by my tour bus. And they locked me and my crew up. So now I'm sitting in L.A. County Jail, $10 million in bail.
Oof.
You know what I'm saying? Because there's 10 people on the bus.
Oh.
I didn't do anything. First time in my life, I didn't do anything. And I'm sitting
there. You're on the bus.
Yeah, well, I got off the bus.
Oh, wow.
And went to a hotel room. And then I came.
But it was your bus.
On the bus the next morning. They followed us to the next venue.
Oh, man.
That's where they got me at.
Holy cow.
And now I'm sitting in jail. 10 people in jail, $1 million a piece, $10 million. And my team came to get me out the first day, right? And I go, I can't leave them in LA in jail. I cannot, you know what I'm saying? So let me figure out how to get everybody out and then we'll get out together. So I got everybody out on bail because we still had to go to court. I had to pay for all that.
Wow.
Flying everybody back and forth here to court, whatever. Shout out to my lawyer, Blair Brand. She killed it. But, the thing was that one last time, I was depending on the people that was my people to make sure that my family and my people were straight. And when I got home, when I finally got out, nobody did anything.
Really?
And I was, because I've been to bat for everybody. I don't pay for things that ain't got nothing to do. It ain't even my business, right? And I was just so devastated because I'm like, yo, what if this would have been it? What if I would have passed? Like, you're not going to make sure my kids are good. Y'all not going to check on my daughter's mother. Y'all not going to do these things. And it's just like, I've done that for y'all, right? And I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm just saying, like, I know what I would do, right? And that's when I started to learn I can't put my expectations on anybody.
Right.
Right. So now I got to do what's best for me because now I feel like I'm all alone.
Wow.
So I was it. I cut everything. And then that's when I went on my mission to just start. And one of my business partners, we used to always just sit down and talk, have a bottle of wine, smoke a cigar. And he's like, what do you want to do? I was like, I want to do real estate. And introduced me to real estate. I started doing real estate. That did well for me. I want to do spirits. So this is all what we did. So I'm like, why don't I just do that in life?
Yeah.
So I call Robin Green. We go to the LA Athletic Club, sit down, have tea. I asked him 7 questions. And he started giving me this game.
Wow.
John Maxwell, who came and married me and my wife.
Wow.
You know, in my backyard.
That's amazing.
Right. And one of my best friends, and me and John talking, he gives me this insight, and I just started to move towards the light.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I just wanted to get a different perspective because I didn't have anybody around me.
Right.
To give me their perspective. And T.D. Jakes, same thing. And I'm not just saying it because these are established people. These are men that have done well in their lives and their community.
And their relationships.
That want to share something with me that I didn't have any access to.
Wow.
And that's what made me start to open up and start to understand and start to be at peace and start to do all these things because now I know it's okay.
Holy cow. So before 5 years ago, when you would face a challenge or an adversity.
Let me say this too, though. And yeah, I met my wife on set when I went to do her show because she works in television. To promote an album I was working on. And I told my publicist, I said, yo, I'm going to marry that woman. But I knew that I had to do some work on myself.
Sure, sure.
So this is the 5 years that I went and got myself together, that I came back and I was like, yo, you know, I'm actually ready for you. Like, wait.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So you met her right around that time, five years ago, or whatever.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is fascinating because did you kind of let go of all those people in your life around that time that was?
I mean, I want to say let go because it wasn't that easy, but I just think we grew apart.
Yeah.
And things just started to happen differently.
They didn't want to go on the same path as you.
Yeah.
So naturally, they're not going to be spending as much time as you.
Yeah. And then it just, you know, it got a little crazy for a while.
Imagine, man. People don't like watching someone else change and doing things differently, especially if you've known for a long time.
Right.
And you're used to doing certain things with them.
Well, they want you to be the old you because it makes them be uncomfortable.
And yeah.
The new you makes people be uncomfortable. And for me, I just kind of felt like the hardest decision I ever made in my life. Hardest decision I ever made in my life. When
was,
I made some hard decisions.
Was what?
Was to walk alone. Hardest decision I ever made in my life. It was like, I meant for the first, Thug Motivation came. For the first 3 albums up until my album, The Recession, I had so much survivor's remorse and I was so like in a bad place. Like I was drinking like you wouldn't believe.
Really?
Oh my God. I was 260 pounds. Skin was bad. I was just like, you know, because I thought I was going to prison. The whole time, I'm just, because everybody around me started to get indicted. So I'm like just waiting. It's coming. Like if me and you hanging out and you get indicted, and I'm like, yeah, they got Lewis. That's my man.
Right.
Right.
You know where am I going?
Yeah. Right. And it was just like the whole thing. So a lot of the music and why it was so strong and direct was it because I just wanted to be heard. In my mind, I'm just like I'm going to be gone, so this is my only chance. So
wow.
I really focused on the music, put everything in the music because I was just like, I just want to leave this behind if I'm not going to make it out this. And I was in such a, and this is the thing, I didn't have the verbiage for all these things I was going through.
The language, you didn't know how to communicate it.
I didn't know what depression was. I didn't know what anxiety was. Like, I didn't know these things. I didn't have no, well, you think I can go to the next room, one of my homeboys, and be like, I'm feeling crazy. I think it's anxiety.
Yeah,
like, yo,
yeah,
man.
Drink this, smoke this.
Right?
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Chill out, bro. You bug it. And on top of paranoia.
One of the cops coming in, when someone come with a gun.
Everybody I would see, I would just think, you know, that the agents, that this and that.
Really?
And all these things were going on. And I'm trying to make music. And I was just so depressed. I was just drinking so much. And I was like waiting to the day. Like I would just go to sleep sometimes and be like, okay, if it's a day, I'm prepared. And mind you, the whole time this is going on, because I'm built the way that I'm built, I'm distancing myself farther away from my family, my sisters, you know, my cousins, my dad, and my mom at the time before she passed, because I'm preparing, right?
Wow.
Because if I go, I don't want to be like, I can't be a weak link.
Wow.
You know, because I miss the outside of my mom, my family. So I'm mentally distancing myself from them, because I don't want that to affect me if I got to go to prison.
Holy cow.
All that's going on. And it was one day, I never forget, I started to work on the recession, and I was dealing with this young lady. We had this breakup. It was public. She was a public person. We had a breakup. And I just went in the studio the same night, and I didn't come out until I worked the recession. And what I was doing was, I was reading books. This is something new for me.
What year is this?
This is
08?
08.
Okay.
07, going to 08, right? Reading books. I was watching the news. I was working out. Now I'm in the gym. I don't know how to work out because I don't like to be told what to do. So I ain't want to go with a trainer. So now I'm YouTubing videos. You know what I'm saying? You know, YouTube is my best friend. And I learned how to eat clean, you know, how to stay hydrated.
Great,
I wasn't
man.
Drinking water for like, I go months without water.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. It was Cristal.
Oh my gosh, man.
Cristal and Waffle House. That was it. That was my diet. And I was like that. And I lost 60 pounds. And I wrote The Recession, which was one of the best albums in my opinion that I've ever written, right? Because it was dealing with politics, the world, the things were going on. I wrote My President is Black before Barack Obama
won,
right? This is before he won. This was like 6 months before he won. And then he won, so that made that song go even crazy. I had Put On with Kanye West. This was the first verse that he did since his mom passed. And now I'm going to do shows. And when I used to do my shows, it used to be like all the gangsters and gang members and the drug dealers in the front row. Now I'm down, I'm like 190, 185, right? And I'm doing shows and it's all women in the front.
Really?
Right? Yeah. And I go do my first show on the recession tour.
They think they're looking at Usher or
right,
what?
Yeah. and I'm doing the show and I come out on stage and all stuff start flying on the stage. I'm looking at my security guard like, yo, what you gonna do with this? He said, boss. I said, what's going on? He said, it's bras and stuff. I was like, oh my God. You
know? Panties and bras.
Right. You know what I mean? And from that standpoint on, I was like, oh, I can be better. I can look better. I can be better. And this is when I came into stardom. This is when
really?
I gave myself. Yeah, this is the first time. My third album was the first time in my whole career where I said, you are a bona fide star. You have to go out here and you got to do what you got to do. And you can't worry about your past. You have to be what you've become. And that's when I fell into like Jeezy, right?
Wow.
That was the first time I felt like I was worthy. And then,
really?
Yeah, because before then, I'm like, I'm thinking it's a fluke. You know, I'm like, huh? You know, I'm selling a few records, but it ain't the type of money I'm used to. Let's talk about that. You know what I'm saying? And how long was it really going to last?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you're not even really an artist, so, you know, you can write a hit album and be talented and can't write another one.
Right.
You
a lot of people do that.
Right. So now I'm starting the process there because I'm like, okay, I got one. What happens now? You know? So now I'm trying to stay in the studio, but I'm not living the same life that I was when I was writing
right.
these records. Right? Because now I'm transitioning, so I'm seeing things different. And, you know, nobody wants to hear that. So what are you going to do?
Right. How many people in the music business that you interact with truly believe that they're worthy of love and peace and success?
I can't really speak because I know for me, I just feel like I'm just a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't group myself in that. Right?
Sure, sure.
And not that I have any disrespect for it.
Right.
But it's just like, you know, it's like if I go to a golf club and everybody there is, you know, well off, I might want to play golf, but I don't want to be in their group.
Right.
Right. And I think that it's hard to get to know somebody when they don't know themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard, you know, because they're living out who they think they are, who
yeah.
people told them they are.
A so false identity.
Yeah, you don't, you know, you can't get to know them because they're going by a name that they made up and that It's who they are, and that's how people perceive them in the world.
When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS.
Right. And, you know, not to say that anybody's a bad person, but it's almost like you go to a wrestling match. You got to know the Undertaker ain't the Undertaker at home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to know that, right? But I think that's the difference because I'm Jeezy at home. I'm Jeezy every day. Like, it ain't got nothing to do with the music. The music just happened to be a part of what I'm doing.
So, I mean, the music, you said this earlier, you were never trying to be an artist. You were never trying to be a musician, an artist, a rapper. You weren't trying to.
I loved the music, though. That was the thing because I learned. And I talk about that a lot in the book. I learned a lot from like Tupac Shakur because he had morals and values before I knew what they were. He stood for something. You know, so he was a revolutionary. I didn't know that you can even have an opinion about this stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
He stood on that. He died for it. He's like, you know, what's the difference between him and anybody else that was assassinated? He died for what he believed in, right? And the things that he believed in gave people like myself some type of moral compass. Because I knew I couldn't do that because Pac said you couldn't do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew I shouldn't do that because he said somebody did this to him. And that's how I was starting to pull things out of the music.
Wow.
So I loved the music. So I was listening to like the Pac and the Master P's and the 8-Ball, MJG's. I didn't listen to the music just to hear it and enjoy it. I listened to the music like sermons.
Wow.
I'm trying to find the word in there.
The message.
The message. Yeah. And that's why I love music so much. And it was like...
But you weren't trying to be a musician.
No. I was trying to be... Honestly, I was trying to be an entrepreneur before I knew what entrepreneurship was. Because the guys that I saw that was doing it on a major level was the Master P's and the Cash Money's. You know, they were living this crazy life. And I was hustling, trying to get the stuff that they was getting. Like,
right.
I bought Lexuses and Rolex watches and all this stuff at that time. Like, I was known for that. You know what I mean? Like, people know, if you know me, I had the latest car, I had the best watch, I had this. And this was before music, right? But these were the entrepreneurs, and I'm like, well, I can do this. I just got to go find some talent. So I was...
So you're trying to be the label. You were trying to find the talent.
I was dealing with some guys out of Florida that I was kind of getting some money with and in the streets, and they had a record company that they was building, right? And we went like to this black spring break in Daytona or something. They had like the Winnebagos and the cars and stuff on it, t-shirts. And I was just like, I could do that. So I went back to Georgia, bought a studio, went to the neighborhood, got some artists. There wasn't artists. There was the homies. You know what I'm saying? Got artists and, you know, put everybody down. My man was with me as well. And we put everybody in the studio and we was trying to make records. And we was trying to get our name out there, and it just didn't go that way. And then the charges came down. People started getting real time.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. And now we stuck with this studio with no artists. And everybody like, well, look, you really lived the life. You might as well talk about it.
Wow. Right?
I was a little reserved because I'm already, again, good over here. The last thing I want to do is go over here and look corny.
Right.
Or because I don't really truly have talent. Like, I'm not writing songs every day. However, when I went back to my childhood, I had to realize, my wife is going to kill me about this, but it was a girl in my class when I went to school in Hawaii, right? And she was different ethnicity or whatever. And I was just like, wow, you know, because I had never seen, this is my first time out of hood. Like, I've never seen this, right? So I'm like, so I started writing her poems.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more I wrote her poems, my dad would come in like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm writing another poem. He's like, man, come on. So I wrote her poems like every day, and then she ended up becoming best friends and,
wow,
of course, girlfriend with him. But I realized that the way I can articulate myself when I write was something special there, because you're feeling what I want you to feel.
Yeah, so I'm getting the result.
Right.
Yeah, I'm can with
see
you
it.
Now.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I can see we're connected.
Right.
And I just remember
Interesting.
That. And then when I started to understand how to put my life into words, it started to be therapeutic for me, because now it's like, oh, I did deal with that. Oh, that is trauma. Wow, I did go through that. How did I overcome that? And now I'm putting it in my music, and that's why my music has always been about motivation. It's been about inspiration. It's been about how can I help you with my pain? How can I prevent you from feeling what I felt? And even if you do, how do I make you feel like you're not alone in this?
Right.
And that's where the music came from. Because if you go back to Pac, Thug Life was a movement. But if you listen to it, you think it's about killing and robbing. It's not. It's about standing for something. Right?
Yeah.
He just made it make sense to us.
Sure.
Because we all feel like we was living the thug life, right?
Wow.
So I came back and my first album was Thug Motivation, because I wanted to set it up like a class.
Right? That's cool.
This is something you sit down and you, and then my second album was The Inspiration, right? And then my third album was The Recession. So look at the, you know what I'm saying? And the crazy thing is, I got the recession from being in a room with these guys. I went to this little private dinner, and I'm in a room with all these guys that got all this money, and they were so concerned. They was like, yo, the recession is coming. I'm thinking about selling this and doing that, and I got to get rid of this business. And I'm going like, you guys got a lot of money. Like, what are you worried about? And he's like, do you know what a recession is? I'm like, yeah, but I didn't. So I went back and Googled it, and I'm like, huh. So I'm asking questions now. What happens with this? How does this happen? So when I wrote The Recession, that was me running back to tell the culture what I just learned. Because we know what a drought is. A drought on the street meaning ain't nobody working.
Yeah.
But a drought on the money is totally different. So that means there's no money nowhere.
Wow.
Right? So if you think you're living bad now, you're going to live even worse. Right? So that was my intentions when I wrote The Recession, to tell people what was going on. And I just caught that moment in time where it hit, and that music was like the soundtrack for what everybody was going through.
And, that's and it was the recession.
Right.
Yeah,
and it just, right when I dropped it, that's when they announced it. And it was huge. When I say huge, it was crazy. And every interview I did after that, I started to really notice again, hear those words. Because now I'm writing about what I'm learning instead of just what I'm doing, and I'm putting it together. And now my interviews are different. Like, people are asking me real questions. They're not asking me, well, what's up with Lil Ray Ray? And it's like,
sure,
now,
sure,
like,
sure.
So what do you think about the present? Have you ever met him before? Right? And I got to tell you a crazy story about that too. So my past, so after I did my President's Black, he won the first time, right? So he invites me to a correspondence dinner.
Really?
In New York. Go buy Tom Ford suits for my crew, get myself yeah. together. And I fly back to New York, and I go to the correspondence dinner. I'm watching my peers go in the correspondence dinner. And I'm getting out of the car, and I see my security talking to Secret Service. And there's like, no. He can't, he cannot. I'm like,
can't be around you.
Right.
Really?
And yeah.
So he invited you, but he couldn't.
His team invited me.
Right.
I couldn't get in. Most embarrassing day of my life.
Really?
Because I'm told everybody I'm going. Like, I'm telling everybody, right? And now I'm sitting in this hotel room, in this hotel called the London in New York. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm going like, all the good I do, all the things I'm trying to, like, how you, like, I'm a good dude. Like, how you going, like, you, like, this ain't even real, like, you know what I mean? My past is my past, but I started to understand how big and deep my past was, and if they went and dug into it, what they would have found, right? And I never forget, I was on tour, maybe like, so there's year one. So this is like maybe like 3 years before he got back in the office again. And my mom called me. I'm in London on a tour bus. She said, "Hey, baby, you see what the president talking about you?" I was like, "What?" She's like, "Yeah, the president was just talking about you." I said, "No, no way." She said, "Yes." As he's talking about me, she said, "Yes." I said, "Okay." She had my sister send me the clip. He was at the next correspondent dinner. He said, "My first term, I went with Al Green. My second term, I'm going with Young Jeezy."
Wow.
Like, plain as day. And he looked at Michelle. He said, "She likes when I sing that to her." And that's when I was just like, okay, I get it. He got some ice in his veins. He see me. I can't feel no way, right?
Right. He gave you a shout out. He gave you props. Yeah, yeah.
But here we go. Here go that life again. I had people like that too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my own light. I'm doing my thing. You can't be right beside me. You're still in the things that don't.
You know what I'm saying?
So that was his way of showing me, I see you, you know.
But I can't be.
I can't be. You know, it's going to be a little while before we're able to sit
down and
have a cocktail, bro. But I see you. And to me, that acknowledgement, not just because he was the president, it's because he saw me, right?
Publicly.
Right. That made me.
Wow.
You know, I was just like, okay, cool. Which I took a page out of that. And even guys that I know from the streets that, you know, we have some history, I make sure if it's still that type of terms that I still see them.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes people just want to be acknowledged.
Absolutely, man.
Wow. Have you got a chance to sit down with him?
No, actually, he came to Atlanta to do a rally for Stacey Abrams. We got a chance to chop it up right quick.
Oh, that's cool.
But I don't think the Secret Service still trusts me yet. It was like looking at me up and down. Like, just like, oh, my God.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
This is fascinating. So how did you get the confidence, knowing that you weren't a rapper or an artist or musician, how did you get the confidence to, obviously you're writing down your thoughts, what are really poetry in your way and sermons in your way and motivation and teaching, and you're putting it into an album. How'd you sell so many records and get your name out there coming from the streets? How did you promote yourself and build a brand record after record?
Good question.
When you didn't know what you were doing?
That's the thing. That's the good thing. That's the golden thing about the streets. You don't got to know what you got. You don't got to know what you're doing. As long as you do it. Because there's no, and that's, like I said, back to the book, there's no straight path that we're trying to get through. You got to navigate these things. I think what gave me the confidence was survival.
Mm.
And that I knew that I was studying before, like, say, for instance, when, again, when people just be listening to the music, I'd be looking for the word. Or I would be a young guy to go sit around a bunch of old guys and just listen to them talk to see what I can learn from them. And that just kind of was my school. It kind of gave me confidence because I knew more than the average kid my age, right? And I was learning how to move because my older cousins was in the streets before me and they was pretty big. So I watched a lot what they was doing, a lot of people that was around them. And I was like, okay, and I'm a sponge.
Your brother was performing in the streets?
No, my cousin was in the streets.
Gotcha.
Like they was doing this before.
They were doing it big.
Yeah, they were the guys. And I was just watching what they was doing.
So you observed and then you represented.
Yeah, a sponge. And that's what gave me confidence because I just felt like I knew more than everybody else, right? And then I wasn't scared to go ask the questions.
Interesting.
And then going about building a brand, I watched and studied how music worked. And even from the Cash Money era, the Master P, you know, Master P and them had the tanks on and all that stuff. I'm just like, what is that for me? And I had this mechanism with this big diamond encrusted snowman on it, right? And it was like, it was the craziest thing ever because it started as a chain, right? And then people started calling me Snowman, right? And now I got a brand. And then when I put out my first album, they took the snowman and put it, shout out to Shauna Ayers, she was helping me with it. They took the snowman and put it on the CD cover and immortalized it. And now, this snowman is everywhere.
And everyone wants to wear a snowman.
So the shirts were made for branding and marketing. And I got to go back to how I branded and market myself. The shirts was made for branding and marketing, and we only made 100. They blew up so much, we ordered 1,000 more. Then, it out of nowhere, I promise you don't know what happened. It went from some shirts that we were sending out to you go anywhere on Harlem, anywhere on 125th, whatever. Every store got different versions of snowman shirts. This was all around the world.
Wow.
So now Jay-Z calls me because he's the president of Def Jam. He's like, I'm going to the Magic Show. You should come with me. So this is the Magic Show out there, the clothing show in Vegas. So they got the Rockerwear booth out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And he like, yo, let's just walk through it. So me and Jay-Z walk around the Magic Show.
What year is this?
This is like 06.
Okay.
07.
Yeah, yeah.
06. And we just walking around it, and people keep running up to me going, Jeezy. No, I'm with Jay-Z. They're like, Jeezy, man, thank you so much. We love you, man. You're the realest. This is great. And I'm just like, so after the fifth person, I look at him, he look at me. He's like, what's going on?
No one's saying anything to Jay-Z.
Yeah, but not even just that, though. We're both looking at each other like, what's going on? Because I don't know what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I asked the guy, I said, yo, what do you mean? He's like, yo, everybody's making money off these snowman shirts because now they sell them in bulk.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because they're selling them to all the mom and pop stores. So we went in one guy's shop, he had them to the ceiling. And one of my guys back then told me when I first did it, I should trademark it.
Yeah.
But I'm still thinking like that. I'm like, nah, this is whatever. And I never trademarked.
Oh, man.
Craziest thing ever. And the crazy thing was, but it's a double-edged sword. So I didn't trademark it. However, I think that made my brand bigger than life.
Wow.
Because everybody had access to it. And they were selling it and they were making money, which means that I was helping them help me.
Yeah, and they were probably getting out there faster than you could.
1,000%.
Wow.
Now it goes back to how I started branding myself. So what I would do when I was first trying to figure out where I was going, I was doing these mixtapes with DJ Drama. He's like a big deal in the culture as far as like street tapes. So what I would do, when people would do street tapes and like put them in stores and sell them, $5, $10. What I did was I pressed up like 100,000 and gave them all out.
Wow.
I went to this club every week on the east side and I gave them out. Then we were around town, gave them out, beauty supply stores, beauty salons, barbershops. And I did that. That was the first tape. I saw the need to move a little bit.
In Georgia.
In Atlanta,
yeah.
Then my second tape was Trap or Die. Right. So I pressed up 500,000 of these.
Oh, man.
And I just started giving them out, Best thing I ever done. Because my grandmother always told me, if you want something from somebody else, give them something first.
Right.
Best thing I ever done. I could still do those songs right now, any stage.
Wow.
Because it was like grassroots. And now I'm getting everybody starting to know who I am. And then I put this DVD of all the footage of me just running around with the Trap or Die tape. And when I knew it was real, when I used to walk into my, we call them trap houses.
Sure.
Yeah, so I just go to my friends' trap houses or whatever, like my homies or whatever. And I go like, just go through there, holler and whatever. And they would be watching my DVD.
Wow,
in
shut
the living
up.
Room. It'd be like 10 people in there looking at the DVD. And you're looking like, y'all know me. It's like, oh, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? They're watching me. And that's how I knew. And then it went from there, because I used to hang out a lot. I used to be in all the premier clubs, whatever. Cause I just went my jewelry, drive my cars. Cause that was my marketing. Like I just looked like the guy who was already successful.
Wow.
That was trying to be successful. And I never forget when Trap or Die came out. I was walking in the club. I mean, mind you, I'm a street guy, so I'm not used to people just walking up on me. And this is back before you can like just take pictures of anybody and anything. And people come up on me like, "Yo, Jeezy, man, I love what you do, man." Like the sixth time somebody came to me, it just felt like somebody was paying them to say this. You know what I'm saying? Because it was weird. I never.
Sure.
You know, and it just started happening more and more. And I'm like, oh, I'm on to something.
Interesting.
Like, this is real. And then I started to like go out like the malls or whatever and be just doing regular stuff. People come up to me, yo, man, I really love you, man. Huh. I love what you're doing. I'm just sitting there and I'm going like, this is it. I got to focus now.
Wow.
And I started recording my debut album. And while I'm recording my debut album, I was paying for it myself. And they come to me about a deal. So I take the deal with Def Jam. And while I'm taking the deal and working on the album that I'm paying for, that they're going to reimburse me my money, I don't know how to perform and I'm not taking care of myself. And so now I do this show in Jacksonville at the Super Bowl, like in a club, nightclub, and the system is terrible. And I had polyps on my vocal cords already, and I tore my vocal cords.
Oh, man.
So now I'm 1 foot in the street, 1 foot out. I got some buzz as an artist, and I got to get surgery.
Oh, man.
And I don't know if I'm, and the whole conversation is, we don't even know if he's going to sound the same or how he's going to sound. So now I'm like, it's going down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what to do, you know? And it was probably one of the scariest moments of my life because now I got to go in there. Mind you, I don't even have insurance.
So oh,
I
right,
pay
right.
for my surgery with a brown paper bag.
Oh my gosh.
So I pay for my surgery with a brown paper bag. And so I made it through that. And then right after that, I want to make sure I say this word right, because somebody said I didn't say it right last time. I got hit with Bell's palsy.
Uh-huh.
And now.
Wow.
My mouth is crooked and my face is. This is like the second thing. After the surgery.
Holy cow.
So now I'm like, I'm hiding. Because I look crazy. And I was scared. I remember talking to my mom. I was just like, Mom, I don't know what to do. But then I realized quickly, too, that I wasn't taking care of myself, right? And at the same time, you don't have people around you that are taking care of themselves. They're not. You know,
you're
people
drinking,
are drinking
you're
every
eating
day.
Bad, yeah, not yeah. sleeping. Yeah.
No, you couldn't. You was too paranoid. Like, I couldn't. I can go off. Before these days, I can go off like an hour and a half of sleep.
Oh, my gosh.
Any day. That was my thing. I sleep when I die.
Right.
Yeah. Because you couldn't sleep. You know what I mean? Because you got so many things going on and your mind is in so many different places, but you're trying to navigate it. And that's why I say, you know, the new rich is peace.
It is.
You know, because, you know, you can have $1 billion, you know, like my uncle used to say, you can put somebody in a Rolls Royce, he's still going to have the same problems. He's going to have those problems in a Rolls Royce. And I think once you become in this place where you just at peace with who you are and who you're becoming, and like I said again, I had to give myself permission to evolve.
Wow.
Because it was almost like I wanted to grow, but I couldn't grow because of my surroundings.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang and a Lufsen sound system, and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours today at Acura.com.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format helps you learn at your own pace and fit earning a degree into your life. From before you enroll to after you graduate, you'll be supported by people who are invested in your success so you can pursue your goals, knowing that help is available if you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Found these weeds and these things that will hold me back, and when I started to clean that out, I started to like grow and bloom and blossom, and I just started to understand like, wow, like the air is different up here, like, you know, the thought process is different.
Yeah,
you know, like I like getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I used to be a time
man.
I wouldn't go to sleep until 6 a.m.
up all night.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Wake up at 2 p.m. Yeah,
but I love it now because it's like, and even some of my friends, they ask me like, hey, what are you doing now? And it's crazy because people ask me a lot of things about life, and I'm surprised because they're older than me. Right, and they're like, yo, so what are you doing now? I'm getting up at 5, I'm doing this. What book you read? I'm reading this book, I'm reading that. And they come over my house, I give them a copy of the book. It's weird, it's Jeezy.
Yeah, sure.
You know, he's the guy who used to pass you the blunt, now he's giving you books, you're like, But I take pride in that because it's my peace. I love when I go through my phone and one of my guys hit me like, yo, I'm on chapter 10. Oh my God, it's mind blowing. You know, I'm like, yeah, wait till you get chapter 12.
All
but
right.
In my mind, that's my peace.
Wow, right? Man.
And I had to work so hard and do so much work on myself just to even get a taste of that.
Yeah.
Right?
How did you get to a taste of peace? How did you start to even heal your thoughts, your emotions, your body? Because I'm assuming 40 years of some type of psychological or physical trauma, whether it be not sure where you're sleeping at night, mom's pointing a gun in your face, on the streets, who knows what's going to happen every day, sleeping an hour a night, doing that for 40 years.
Yes. Yes.
Seeing friends die,
yeah.
Seeing friends go to jail, doing that for that long,
right.
Having surgery,
right.
There is no peace. There's no healing. There's no time to think about, let my nervous system calm and relax. Let me process these memories of my past from parents to childhood friends to other stuff that maybe you haven't talked about and really allow my body to feel whole.
Right.
When did that start to happen? And is that still a journey for you?
Yeah, still a journey. I learned that when my mom passed.
Mm.
I didn't agree with it.
Really?
Because I'm numb.
When was this?
My mom passed 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm numb. Like I've been through it so much. I don't feel that part. Like I gotta be honest. Like I don't know how to connect with that. Right. And that's something that I'm working on every day, because it's like when you going through all these things, you just become, it becomes normal life to you. Right. And then you have to understand this is what's going to happen. You got to deal with it. You got to keep it moving. Right. And when my mom passed, I knew that I didn't grieve right. I was just like, something's not right. Which sent me on another mission. So to answer your question is, how do you get to that? I'm still working on that now. And that's why I'm even opening up and being transparent about what I'm going through. Because I think at some point, as black men, we all in that space, bro.
Man.
We didn't come from a certain type of life. And for me, it took me to get around other people to understand that everybody's went through something, right? And you got to be different outlets of how you can, just start to dump some of that stuff off. And the crazy thing is, you know, and I'm not just saying that, even when I started listening to your podcast, John Maxwell's and, you know, just different people, I just respected their perspective. I started to get a lot of information about how to deal with those things and who I should reach out to, which is why I'm so passionate about the book, because there's information in there, right? There's information in these shows and these episodes that you do that you wouldn't even expect people to pull that from and go, man, maybe I need to, maybe I should sit down with somebody and like, I didn't know what processing means.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't know that something from my childhood could affect me worse in my 40s, right? I didn't know all these things, but I'm working on those things every day. I'm working on trust.
Right? Wow, man.
You know, I'm working on emotions. Like I love my kids, right? And I'm just making sure I'm intentional about connecting with them. Cause I know there's sometimes with me where I get caught up in my world and I'm thinking about everything that I got going on that I might not be present. But then I didn't know there was a such thing of being present. So now I got to check myself on that. So
you
now
could be present. You're always hustling for the next thing, probably.
So now it's checks and balances.
Wow, man.
And it's in the information. And that's one thing I do like about social media. These days I hate all the other, like it's terrible, but there's a lot of information there if you know how to sort through it. It's like YouTube, it's like books, like podcasts. There's information that we need that we just can't get from people that are around us because they're searching for the same thing. And I think that's what helped me get on the mission of healing, because this is the thing. I didn't know I needed to heal. I felt like I was Iron Man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good. Like, it can't nothing hurt me. I felt like that. And then when I started peeling back the layers, I'm like, wow. Like, you know, like how somebody gonna feel your devotion if they can't, if you're not, you know, it's how people are gonna feel you if you're not even being, cause you know, by the way, this is, I would never talk this much. Just so, you know,
yeah, sure.
Go back and look at my first interviews. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, nah, it was like interrogation.
Yes or no, yeah.
It was interrogation. It was like, nah, I don't know about that. But now I feel like, you know, it's my purpose and my responsibility to open up.
Yeah, it's beautiful,
right?
Man.
Because we don't make it to our 40s and 50s, you know what I'm saying? And we don't make it there being us and still being cool and still being successful and still being like, you know, if it's a black man, you get over a certain age, nobody cares about you, not even your kids.
Really?
We can't give them no money or do nothing for them. It's like, you know, you just get to a certain age, it's so hard for us, right? So you have to put things around you and put things in place that keep you held accountable and that fulfill you so that you can go out here and be the best that you can be. And for me, that's what keeps me going and keeps me on the journey of healing. I don't got a problem saying that now because I got my friends and my people that tell me, you know, things like, yeah, man, I'm really going through this. I'm like, well, I mean, I'm here. Like, we, what can I do, right?
Right.
So I'm already knowing they need to heal, right? And I can understand that. So now I give them space to heal, right? Checking in, you know, let's go have dinner or something. Like,
that's
let's
beautiful.
Just get out for a minute. And because the thing from our culture is when you go through things, you isolate yourself, you know, and that's like the worst thing ever. Because now you know, you in this, you know, in a wall is for real.
Yeah, man.
You know, a wall can keep people out, but it can also keep you in. You know what I'm saying? So it can keep the bad things out, but it blocks the blessings as well.
It does.
You know, and I think, you know, I had a wall up for, you know, my first probably, you know, 30-some years of my life.
Really?
Oh, big one. I'm talking about like, no, nothing wasn't getting past that wall. Because that's how I was surviving. Like, it's different to live for love and to live for survival. And if you ask me, you know, what was the difference? I was living for survival here. Now I'm living for love.
Were you able to experience love up until the last 5 years with that wall?
No.
Really?
No.
What does love feel like now that you have the wall coming down, or at least partial wall, you know, maybe?
It feels like trust. It feels like a village. It feels like community. It feels like support. It feels like understanding. It feels like grace. It feels like those things because, again, you never had it. And not to say that it wasn't there, but I wouldn't let anybody in.
You weren't allowing yourself to experience it.
So now it's just like knowing people. Because, you know, for a while, you just feel like nobody really, like, really is down with you. Because when you go through, like, a lot of the stuff I talk about in the book, and you realize how people go left and right, and not really down, you kind of just build that up in your head. You kind of like, okay, all my interactions are, like, you know, they one-offs. I'm not looking to build with you. You know what I'm saying?
They're not deep,
Yeah, I already know at some point it's going to go left, and you're going to feel a way about something, and there's that, right? But what I had to learn is, like, you know, even when I was wrong, you know, I could still go back and have a conversation with somebody who's mentally on the same level as me and be like, you know what, man? I just had a bad day, bro. Like, I was doing this and that, and I'm going through, and you said this, and I just kind of felt like I wasn't there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, no, it's all good. That's how two men talk. But you coming from a culture where if we don't agree, somebody got to go.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
Oh, yeah, somebody got to go. And I ain't talking about just leaving.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm right.
Like, that ain't how
go
we
go forever.
Yes.
Holy
cow. And that's how it's set up. And that's and the thing about it is what I learned in this world is there's no conflict resolution in this world. We don't have conflict resolution. We don't have an understanding of how this is supposed to go.
There's a resolution. It's just not a healthy one.
Right.
Right.
And in this world, there's conflict resolution. There's I'm wrong. You're right. You know what? Next time I'll try this. You lose somebody, we there for you. You know what I'm saying? You going through something, you got help. You know what I'm saying? If you feeling depressed, I want to be the one to call and make you laugh and tell you something crazy. You know what I'm saying? Or if you got some issues with your business, I want to introduce you to my lawyers and my friends and their friends and so on and so forth. And, you know, if I went on a vacation somewhere, like, man, you know, you should go there. I'm going to set you up with the people. So now you're like building this community of we all we got. Right. And in this community, you are you got.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
You are. You know, ain't no way around it.
With all the experience you have now from all the stuff and the trauma you went through growing up and the process of healing and the process of trusting in the last 5 years and processing and all these different things, what would you say is your greatest superpower now? And maybe it's not what people would think it is. And also, what is your biggest weakness still that you're working to overcome that you want to become better at overcoming?
My biggest weakness would be dealing with a lot of my childhood trauma. Because there's sometimes a little Jay still comes out.
Hey.
You know what I mean? I have to work on that because either you feel slighted. And again, what I had to kind of come to grips with is that what served me then doesn't serve me now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, a violent behavior would serve me then.
It protected you. It guarded you.
Right. And a tough demeanor is like, you know. And was it the next one you asked, what am I working on
now? The greatest superpower.
Superpower.
Yeah.
I say the greatest superpower to me is having a good heart. You know what I'm saying? Because I always had it. You know what I'm saying? It just doing things for people makes me feel like, It fulfills me. Like, it's almost like, you know, when somebody call me and be like, yo, thank you for introducing me to such and such or telling such and such, you know, stop by my business. I'm like, oh, no, it's, you know, I love what you do, whatever.
Yeah.
That's a good thing for me. And then also my superpowers, problem solving.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. Like, you can put 100 problems on this desk. I'm scanning through them. Okay, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
That's my thing. And just to add someone to that, I think my biggest superpower is integrity.
Wow.
I have to move correctly because I have to be able to look at myself in the mirror. And there's been some times that I couldn't.
Right.
Because I didn't move correctly.
Your past.
My past, definitely. I mean, you know, and based off, like, you know, I would lie if I felt like it was going to benefit me or get me out of trouble. I don't think I can do that today. So I try not to get in trouble because I'm going to be like, yeah, I did it.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But I had learned that a man that's a real man doesn't lie under any circumstance. He doesn't.
Wow. When did you learn that? When did you start that switch of?
I started that around about my late 30s.
Wow.
Because yeah. I was still trying to figure it out then. And I wouldn't like say nothing crazy, but if you asked me something, there was like some pressure behind it, like meaning like I could be in a situation or it might not go my way, then I might lean towards what's going to work for me. But I couldn't do that. Like I couldn't look somebody.
There's no peace.
Yeah.
When you're always telling a white lie or hiding something you know.
Yeah. Well, also what I learned too, that it worked for me because you have to be covert, right? You coming from this world, you
survival,
gotta. You can't tell people everything you're doing. Like now you're supposed to tell me your next step because they could be there waiting for you, right?
Right.
So that was how I lived. But when I started to be more transparent, I started to notice that these quality people that I was bringing to my life became closer to me. They embraced me more. Because you got to think, like I was the guy that talking about coming over your house for dinner. Oh, no.
Right.
It was.
But the more vulnerable and open and honest and integrity and your word that you are consistently, the more people want to support you who have the same values.
Right.
And the more
they want to, even give you a lot of the knowledge that they have.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, and not even, you know, like really pour into you, like really lean into you. And at first, you know, that was a little weird to me. Because nobody had ever helped me before. So now I'm trying to figure out what's the catch.
Right. What are they trying to get out of? Yeah, yeah.
Right. So now I'm trying to figure out what's
trying
the catch.
Trying to use me, they're trying to get something from me.
Right, right. And it took a while. And I'm just like, wait, hold up. So, and then, you know, I'm not good with time. Like, I remember the trauma stuff, but like, because of course I lived a crazy life in and out here and there. So you meet people and see people. But then when you see people, you haven't seen them in a while, and they kind of greet you with that love, and they tell you, like, I just really love you. Like, at first, I couldn't believe it, right? But over time, started to be like, yo, maybe you know, that's genuine. That's real. Because where we come from, if somebody tell you they love you, you got to be watching your back.
Really?
Yes, absolutely, 1,000%.
With them?
Yes. You out a nightclub? Somebody get in your ear? You know I love those. That's it. That's you don't want that.
Really?
Yes, you don't want that.
Why, they could be shooting you the next day or something?
1,000%. I've seen it happen more times than you can think. I've seen it firsthand, you know.
What is the biggest lesson your wife has taught you?
The biggest lesson she taught me in life is that having a partner is having somebody that is on the same wavelength as you and you guys are building building together is the best thing in the whole wide world. My wife is smart, super smart, super savvy, fly, say that. And it's just like, that's my partner. Like we can talk about things and she's there with me, right? And then she can also tell me things that I wouldn't take from anybody else. Cause there's been times I've been in situations where my wife is like, have you ever thought about? I'm like, no, I have not. Let me get into that. And we sit down, we politic and we talk and it's just like, we're coming with a plan. And I love that. And she can hold her own. And that's what I really respect about her. Like she has just as many resources and things as I have. And we always put them together to do things.
That's amazing.
And she's very well-traveled. And I love that. Like we can go anywhere. She's plugged in. And we live a life together that we both sit down. And I mean, the first like couple months we was together, we sat down and we did a vision board. And it was like this big vision board. It was in the living room in my condo. And we're just doing all these... it's all these ideas, and we looked up maybe like a year later, we had done everything.
That's
like,
so cool, man.
We got to do another board.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing, man. I've got a few more questions for you, that's okay. This has been inspiring, man. I could hear your stories.
Thank you so much, brother.
I could hear this stuff for a long time, but I want to ask, you mentioned Jay-Z briefly. But you've worked with a lot of big artists over the years, right? I mean, who are some of the names that you've worked with or either been on tracks with or they've been on your album or you worked with?
Kanye West to Rihanna to Mariah Carey to, the list goes on. I'm only for people I ain't worked with that I ever wanted to work with is Sade and Tupac.
All right.
I think everything else I got covered.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you go, I mean, from not being an artist, not being a rapper, not knowing anything really about music, to working with the biggest names in the world?
I think it's my connection to the streets and the people and the culture. Because, again, like, when you have your community and you have some leadership there, by connecting and collabing, you get to get these people ears that you never would have got because they don't know you or believe you, but they believe me.
Mm.
Right? So that's the key to it, because that's most of the reason why people do collabs, is to tap into whatever you got, right? And it's just like, you know, when you got people like Rihanna, we've done records, you got Kanye West, we've done plenty of records. You got people like Jay-Z. I got more records with Jay-Z than he has with Biggie Smalls. Like, just think about that.
Holy cow.
Right? But that's what I'm saying. So for me, I think we just tap into what each other has. And for me, my stronghold has been the culture, the people. Like, I am the people's champ, you know? And it's way beyond the music. Like, the music is just the vessel and the connection to the people. But I think it's more life things to have, because you can track and see where I was in a bad space. You can see where I was trying to figure it out. You can see when I started to come out of my rut. You can see when I started to think different. You can see when I started to eat different. You can see when I started to dress different. So you're seeing that evolution, and you start to go, hold up. I'm from where he's from. I can do that. He's doing, like, you know, in real estate in Atlanta. I'm like, we're really over the world. I'm healing right now. Something I always love. I mean, it reminds me of my old life. You buy something, you flip it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's my thing. And now I got business people come to me, talk to me about real estate. These are people in the culture that's really excited about going out here and doing these things that they probably wouldn't have never thought that they can do. But they're seeing what I'm doing, and they're going like, wow. Like, and now I'm getting these calls from people that, you know, that I used to know in a whole nother life. Like, man, I just bought this duplex, man. Like, who can I talk to about managing for me or whatever, whatever. And it's like, these are the conversations I want to have with you. I don't want to have conversations with
right.
you that are, you know, that are...
The old way.
Yeah, not good. Yeah.
I got three final questions for you. I feel like I could ask you tons of stuff, but I want people to get your book, Adversity for Sale.
Yes, sir.
You got to believe.
Uh-huh.
Make sure you guys get a few copies of the book. Give them to your friends from Jeezy Jenkins. This question is what I ask all my guests at the end of our conversations. It's called The Three Truths. So it's a hypothetical question, hypothetical scenario. Imagine you get to live as long as you want to live. You know, you can extend your life for as long as you want, but eventually it's the last day. But you've created so many vision boards. You've accomplished all your dreams 1,000-fold, right? For the rest of your life. You've lived exactly the way you want to live. But for whatever reason, in this hypothetical world, no one has access to your content, your information, your music, your books, this conversation, it's gone. Everything you've ever put out is gone. But on the last day, you get to leave behind three lessons.
Mm.
And this is all we have access of your information, the three lessons that you would share with the world. I call them the three truths. What would be those three truths for you?
First truth would be, karma is real. I've done some pretty bad things in my life. And I tell you, man, the man upstairs, Big G.O.D., he made me pay. He made me pay. And I'll never go back down that road again.
Wow.
So do right by people and do right by yourself, you know, because karma is real. That would be my first truth. My second truth would be, it's never too late for anything. Like, you can be how old, or you can be in the worst situation in the world. It's just never too late to turn it all around. It's never too late. Like, you can get started today, you're on your way tomorrow, no matter when. And my last truth would be, evolve or die. And I don't mean in the sense of the word, but if you're not evolving, you're not living. And the last thing you want to do is take that with you. And they say, you know, the richest place in the world is a cemetery, because everybody take all these great things with them. And it's just like, you might lose a lot evolving, but you'll gain so much more, right? And you'll have a whole different respect for yourself, because we only got one life, and your life has to affect more than what you can see or touch. Your life has to affect, I can never thought then that my life would affect millions, right? And I'm still continuing to chip away at that, right? And again, when I'm no longer here, I want my kids to know that their father was a great man. He stood for something, and he wanted to help people the best way he could. He didn't actually come in the best way.
Right, right.
But he wanted to help people as much as he could. And I hope and I pray by people seeing me evolve and giving myself the permission to do so on my own terms and my own time, that helps them understand that there's no judgment. If you want to do and become better for yourself, your family, your peers, your community, your culture, your people, you got that right. Because when this life is over, it's a wrap. It's done. And what you didn't do, never get a chance to do that, ever.
Jeezy, I want to acknowledge you before I ask the final question for your ability to look within over the last, 3 to 5 years and say, you know what, I'm going to start talking about things that I never thought I was able to talk about. I'm going to start opening up and being vulnerable, even though I would have been laughed at, made fun of, kicked out of the house or whatever growing up if I would have done these things then. And I acknowledge you for allowing yourself to start to heal and transform and transmit the message that you've learned from, you know, the karma that you've had to deal with in the past from wrongdoings and mistakes and things that you did that were out of integrity to being the best human you can be. And obviously still no one's perfect, but being on that process of service, adding value where you can, creating, bringing people together, collaborating. So I acknowledge you for the man you're continuing to becoming.
I received that,
the
brother.
The man you're healing into a beautiful man, it looks like. And I hope we get to play some golf sometime, hang out sometime more. And I want people, again, to get the book. Before I ask the final question, is there anything else we can do to serve you today?
Oh, man, just make sure we spread this message and, and let's just continue to build, brother. Like,
man.
And I want to let you know as well, like, you really... I've turned a lot of my friends and my peers on to you, and it's like they call me the next day, like, yo, this is amazing. Because you just, different episode of what you're going through in life, you can just kind of go through it and pick what you're going through and listen to it. And I listen to your stuff every morning, man.
Thanks, man.
What you can do for me is continue to do what you're doing, man, because you affect the more people that you know.
My man, I appreciate it. The final question, Jeezy, what is your definition of greatness?
My definition of greatness is to be the best version of yourself by any means is greatness to me. That means win, lose, draw. Just be the best version you can be of you. And that's all you got to give. There's nothing else. Like if you get up every day and you're doing the best you can do and you're being the best that you can be, that's greatness. You're already walking in the path. It only gets better. You know, they say good things come out of that. Bad habits, bad things come out of that. So at the end of the day, if you got a habit of being the best version of yourself, you're only going to get better at that, and that's greatness to me.
I hope today's episode inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a rundown of today's show with all the important links. And if you want weekly exclusive bonus episodes with me, as well as ad-free listening experience, make sure to subscribe to our Greatness Plus channel on Apple Podcast. If you enjoyed this, please share it with a friend over on social media or text a friend. Leave us a review over on Apple Podcast and let me know what you learned over on our social media channels at Lewis House. I really love hearing the feedback from you, and it helps us continue to make the show better. And if you want more inspiration from our world-class guests and content to learn how to improve the quality of your life, then make sure to sign up for the Greatness Newsletter and get it delivered right to your inbox over at greatness.com/newsletter. And if no one has told you today, I want to remind you that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.
Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money. On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.